Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Now, let's quickly answer this question. Look at the book of Luke chapter 13, and I want to address this very basic question also, which I find that people have difficulty with as far as the kingdom is concerned. The question is, where should the kingdom come? Where should the kingdom come? We are talking about the coming of the kingdom, actualizing the kingdom of God. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now, Jesus says, and again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures. And please underline three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It says that the kingdom of God is like what? Leaven, which a woman took and hid it where? It is secretly in three measures of meal, not one measure or two measures, but three measures of meal. In other words, the kingdom of God should be planted in your spirit. It should be planted in your soul. It should be planted in your body. The kingdom of God is to be represented in three meals, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In your spirit life, in your soul life, and then in your body physical life. The kingdom of God must impact all these three areas until the whole thing is kingdomized. The whole of you, spirit, soul, and body, has become the kingdom. Now, the law of secrecy is about strategy. It's about intelligence. It is about heavenly sense. Not common sense. Heavenly sense. Hallelujah. Not intellectual sense. It is about heavenly sense or heavenly wisdom. God, we see from the Bible, does not fight with strength. And it amuses me to learn that thing about God. He doesn't fight with strength. He fights with strategy. Actually, battles of life are not won by strength. Ecclesiastes 9:11. They are won by strategy. It's not how superior weapons you have necessarily. It is a strategy that, as it were, gives you the victory. Strategy is a military term. It has a French origin, strategia, that affected the Greek and that virtually got into English. And it just means general. Like we have an army general. At first, the English word being used for an army general was not an army general. It was a strategia. It's talking about generalship. A general is somebody who has strategy. All right? Strategos means a general. Stratos is an old word for an army. And agent, it also goes into just building up of this word strategy in the English. It means to lead. So strategy is actually being led as a general. It's a general leading an army. He leads with strategy, with wisdom. So wisdom must lead an army. Hallelujah. There is no strategy that is clear on the face of it. There is no strategy that is understandable, clear to people on the face of it. People always have questions with strategy. You know, the first characteristic of strategy is that it is secretive. There is something hidden about it. Otherwise, it's not a strategy. First characteristic of a strategy is that there is some gray areas about the whole show. You know, the thing is not clear. That's why it's a strategy. If it's clear, it ceases to be a strategy. Then it is known. I mean, it's not a strategy anymore. The thing about a strategy is that it is not clear. There is something hidden about it. And I want us to understand that we cannot wait till we understand everything. We cannot wait till we understand every leading. There must be gray areas. And God will intentionally put some gray areas there. We cannot wait till we understand every circumstance and every word, and we understand the Bible, I mean, clearly, before we respect it, before we obey it. If you believe that there is an army general, Jesus Christ, who has a strategy for your life, and you are one of his soldiers in his royal army, then you know that when he gives you a word and a command, and then he builds certain circumstances around you, you do not have to understand everything. You do not have to be clear about everything before you start to respect it. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we will always know in part. That one, no matter how you struggle about this thing, you will not know everything, because God will not reveal all of his strategy. He is a God who likes secrecy. And we will always know in part. And we will always speak and prophesy in part. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 verse 6 says that Satan was defeated not by strength, but by strategy, by a wisdom that was hidden away from him. Can you imagine? God is going to fight with the devil, literally, and it's not his strength, omnipotent God, against his creature. No. God, as it were, puts his omnipotence aside, and then he just hides something from the devil. He just got secretive about something. The Bible says that if the princes of this world knew that by crucifying Jesus, we were going to be free, they would not have crucified him. But God hid something from them. He just uses secrecy to beat them, not his strength. And many times in our lives, we are going to have glory, we are going to have victory, because we often follow things which we are not clear about. And we follow on in faith. Can we all say faith? Faith means that you do not know, as it were, the physical outcome, but you follow on. You respect that leading. You obey that leading. Because you will not know everything and understand everything. Hallelujah. So that is something very important you need to know. Very, very important. We need to understand that there is a master architect, there is a general, there is a strategist who is orchestrating the circumstances of our lives and the events of our lives. God has a hidden strategy for our lives, which no one will know by observation. Oh yeah. Sometimes, you see, we want to put people in a spiritual science lab and say that when you mix this with this chemical, it's going to result in that. But we are not, we are not specimen on the experiment. Oh yeah. The believer cannot be restricted and put in a box. That is why the Bible likens us to the wind in terms of our mysterious nature. Because we are mysterious. You can't find us out. And God has to make us like that. Because it is not by strength that you are going to gain mastery over the devil. It is by getting the wisdom of God that is hidden, the Bible says, but ordained for your glory and for your victory. It will be a mystery, but don't try to put people in a spiritual science lab. Experts like to do that. Christians are not laboratory specimen that follow 2 plus 2 equals 4. Oh yeah. Sometimes we behave like people who know better than God, senior brothers of God, advisors of God, in the name of fathers. Okay. And we try to play people. Toy with the destiny of people, limit people by your words and things like that. People God has created with a destiny. Hey, I don't want to put words on you to say to you, although God has created you with a plan, that plan will not come to pass. You will not amount to anything. Hey, it's a very serious thing. Christians are not toys that we play with. We are not doing power play. Hey, it's a very serious thing. So we must stop. John chapter 3 verse 8 says that the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it came from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There is a mystery with him. You cannot put him into a lab and say that 2 plus 2, because you think that it's going to be done. You can't do that. You can't do that. In some cases, you'll be right. But you can't do that with everybody. We are not contending formless. Hallelujah. So God is just talking about the fact that you would not know everything about my ways. It's like the wind. Of course, you hear the sound, but you cannot see the wind. And that is how my movement is. You will hear I'm moving this way, but there will be some secrecy with the whole thing. Okay, let's move on quickly. The other thing I want us to note is that God often hides his trump cards. No one reveals his final cards until the time of the end. You know, have you seen a general who is commanding an army who releases his final card, his trump card, you know, his last kaloo? Is it that when they begin the march and then he releases the last kaloo? No. The last kalo comes last. All right? So that is the same with God. He waits for the end of the time. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that we are living in the end of time. And God is revealing. He is putting down his last cards. He is revealing the signs of the kingdom. Matthew 13, Romans chapter 8. They have been in the same field with unbelievers, that you may mistake them for unbelievers because of their placement. The wheat and the tares were in the same field. And because of placement, they looked alike. But the time has come in this time of the end for the revealing of the wheat. That is what God is doing. God's trump cards are not those who are in the limelight, like me. In this church, his trump cards, they are those who are hidden, who may not have the chance to stand behind this pulpit and preach for this length of time and regularly like I do. But I want you to understand that although you may be hidden, you are God's trump card. He always reserves his trump card. They are unassuming people that he has placed in certain unassuming positions to the religious mind. Their position is unassuming, irrelevant to a religious mind. But God intentionally placed them there. You know, every army has got what we call secret service. And you know, if you are an army and you do not have a secret service, you do not have a strategy. Because the secret service is supposed to, spy out things. We see Moses doing it, Joshua doing it. They go ahead, they spy out things, and they tell where you should go. They are the intelligent units of the military high command, if you like. And these people mostly operate undercover. Whether they are CIA or they are, what is the name of the Jewish one? It just comes and goes, you know. But whatever it is, every nation has got it. And they come around, they do not look like commandos. They look ordinary, civilian dressed. They do everything with you. They call them undercover agents. You know? Every army has got it. And God has got undercover people. He has got it. They are the people who risk their life. They get into the enemy camp. They split the defense and make the way for the lamplight people to score. Yeah. It's true. Esther was God's trump card in the kingdom of Artaxerxes. Nehemiah told Esther that be secretive about your nationality. Don't tell anybody you're a Jew.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So Artaxerxes was, having all the fun with Esther, queen, all the pleasure. But he didn't know there was something secret about Esther. He didn't know Esther was a Jew. And God defeated that devil, Haman, not by strength, but by strategy. Esther was just a woman who brought the devil, Haman, down just by a strategy. Because she played it on. Organize a feast for the king. Bring Haman along. Organize another one. And then she reveals her identity. Said, I'm a Jew. And Haman wants to kill all of us. At that time, he had played the king to make a promise. I'm going to give you. Is it half of the kingdom? Hey! Wow. So Haman was defeated. And God is going to defeat the devil in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. In this church, God is going to defeat the devil, and He's going to use the secret people. He has put them there. They look unassuming as far as this church structure is concerned. But they should not count themselves out of the army of God or underestimate their role. They must rise up and enter into the enemy camp and do the work in the realms of the spirit so the pastor can stand up here and preach and score the goal. And guess what? When it comes to the reward time, it is not the people who are in the limelight who are going to get all of the reward. But much more. Those who risked their life and entered into that fast and that prayer and entered into that long period of waiting upon the Lord and of praying. It is important for us to speak in tongues when you are breaking and splitting the defense of the enemy, because tongues is a language that the devil cannot intercept. Oh yeah, it's very powerful. He can bring all of his gadgets and try to understand, but he cannot understand it. Because it is the spirit of man talking directly to God. And the Bible says that he talks well because he is energized and unctionized by the Holy Spirit. He gives the utterance for us to speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the person who speaks in tongues is speaking deep things. Communicating deep things to the angels, unknown things that the demons cannot intercept and understand this language. But the angels are responding because you are speaking a strategy. I realize in my life personally that when I speak in tongues, I should be ready for a revelation. There is no way I can speak in tongues without getting a strategy back. It's not possible. Because I speak the mysteries and I realize that whatever thing is coming again is a mystery. And I say, wow. More than 10 years, I cannot sleep without a book and a pen by my bedside. It's not possible. I can't sleep. Because when I begin to speak in tongues, I'm going to be in trouble. I have to write things down. I can't help it.
Sometimes when we are praying in this place, I can't help it. Because you cannot speak in mystery without getting deep things that you didn't know about. Says that, call upon me, I will answer, and I will show you things that you didn't know about.
It is our glory to set those things up. Because they are ordained for our glory. They are ordained for our honor. They are ordained for our victory. That is why you must speak in tongues. Psalm 8 verse 2. Out of the mouth of babies and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you will still the enemy and the avenger. That is why I like to speak in tongues some more. And I'm watching the television and I'm speaking in tongues. Because the Holy Ghost comes upon me and I can't help it. I can't help it but to speak it. I speak it, I speak it. I say, my word, bring the book, bring it. It will come. Because if you speak in tongues, the interpretation must come. I talk to angels, I talk to God, I give this secret code and all that. They are also decoding the thing, demystifying everything and bringing the thing to me for application. Hallelujah. So I say to you that you are God's trump card. And the powerful things that God is going to do in this earth, He is not going to use a fivefold ministry. Check Acts of the Apostles. He's going to use ordinary disciples who are going everywhere and splitting the enemy camp. And the apostles are following rather. Have you seen it? No, have you seen it in Acts? That it is the ordinary disciples who enter into Samaria, who enter into Cyprus, Cyrene, enters into those places, and they split the enemy camp. And then word goes to Jerusalem, to the 12 apostles, that these people have received the word of God, and they are following on. And that is the same strategy God is using in your life. So ladies and gentlemen, don't think that God has calmed you and God has clamped on you. He is sitting on your ministry. He is not giving you expression. He is a God who is secretive by nature, and He has made you, place you there in this church, in a place that people can despise. And people, a lot of people despise God. We ourselves, you know, it's true that we take God for granted. I mean, He says it, but we don't mind. Who said that? God. Okay, fine. But we do the opposite. Isn't it true? That we can get just wake up in the morning and totally ignore God. He doesn't matter. Something else matters. We can despise Him easily. We can snub Him easily. But He is God Almighty. And that is the way that He is going to kingdomize this world, using people who think that they are not well placed. But God has positioned you in that place so that He uses you as His trump card. So avail yourself for God to use. And I'm bringing my message to an end. Do not look down upon yourself. You may be looked down by the community of Christians, and it's a religious minded people who do that. I've had a lot of looking down by ministers, a lot of looking down by, for various reasons. Mainly because of placement. People underestimate you. Religious minds, traditional minds. They only understand it that way. They don't have flexibility. God says that His church must be youthful. Youthful. It's talking about flexibility. Without spot or wrinkle. Without spot. It's talking about without sin. Holy. I'm talking about Ephesians 5 now. And without wrinkle means that the people must look fresh, youthful. He wants His church to be flexible. Your bone break, a young person, he can just grow by itself. Oh yeah. Flexible. You don't have wrinkles all over your faces. Okay. Finally. Oh, we don't have time to go into that. But Jericho was defeated by a long period of silence. A long period of mystery. Now, can you imagine for 6 days they are walking and they don't know what the whole thing is about? But somebody referring to himself as the captain of the host came and gave them that military strategy. That for 6 days, go round 6 times. And on the 7th day, go round 7 times, okay? And on the 7th time, I want you to shout and blow the trumpet and make noise. What kind of strategy is that? Imagine them going round. But you see, God had built something into them. He had built military obedience into them. Unquestioned obedience. So they went round without questioning. Nobody would say, daddy, I mean, they just went round because God said, don't talk. Don't talk. Silence. So they march, you just hear. Nobody talks. And then they go to camp. Next day, I wonder the Jericho people what. They were totally confused in the first place. These people, we don't even hear them talking. Who is going to do the fighting for them? They are just marching. Do they think you are going to do parade in this place? But that was God's work. You know? Many times in our life, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be a long period of silence, a long period of strategy, a long period of preparation, a long period of secrecy, a long period of God working, and a short period of execution, a short period of you working. Because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And his strategy will not conflict with his nature. He likes to operate as a hidden God. And he's going to operate and actualize the kingdom in your life in secrecy. By observation, people will not know that you are gaining grounds. But like a tsunami, underground current, you are gaining momentum until you hit the shore. People will take you for granted. But you have to continue like the army of God going around the walls of Jericho in silence. May God grant that our silent period, whether it's silence in our family life, in our businesses, in our ministries, in our callings, in our schooling, may God grant that the period of silence, the period of no lamplight, the period that you don't know of darkness, you don't get the thing clear, the period of strategy, may God grant that there will be times of faith. May God grant that there will be times of movement under God's guidance. As the people went round the walls of Jericho, they were doing it under God's guidance. And may our silent period be also a time where we are guided by the Lord. Although nobody may recognize you and give you a microphone, may you still be guided by the Lord in your seed, even as you release your missiles. May you still be guided. May it be a period of being in God's presence. Because the Ark of the Covenant was with the armies, even as they were marching, even as we are going around in silence, and we are not shining in our academic work, and we are not shining in our ministry, may still the presence of the Lord who hides himself be with us. May we walk in his presence. May we not be discouraged and begin to do things anyhow, because we feel frustrated that nobody is recognizing us, that nobody is trying to respect us. May it be times where we are in God's presence. May it be times where we are keeping our ranks. May it not lead us to disturb the ranking in the church of the Lord. He is a God of government, order, structure. May it be that as we are marching, the people, I believe that one of them didn't get up and say, okay, Joshua, you stand aside. It looks like for 6 days you don't know how to lead this army. And then he breaks his rank. From private, now he has become a general. Eh? Or from Lance Corporal, now he says he's a brigadier. Hey! Hey! Silent period. Yet you keep your rank. Wow. Because the time is going to come, God is going to allow you to shout. God will give a shout upon your life. Whether it's your marriage, there will be a shout. And everybody is going to come to attention and alert. There will be a shout in your ministry. And everybody will back down. The devil will back off and say, that where did this guy come from? No, God was preparing him in secret. Isaiah chapter 49. He says that, look, you were a sharpened arrow. But I've hidden you in my quiver. A sharp arrow must be shot. But God refuses to shoot you. He keeps you in the quiver. He says, I have polished you, but I've hidden you.
He says that don't be alarmed, because in an acceptable time, I'm going to release you, and you are going to be a light to the Gentiles. You are going to so explode, because the devil does not know how I am preparing you in the fetters of affliction, but I'm going to choose you out of that place, and I'm going to expose you. And suddenly, like a tsunami, the devil will receive all the slap in his faces, because he's a master strategist. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.